and a challenging you service. This is when we do communion, it is an opportunity for us to examine ourselves. We need to examine ourselves where we stand with the Lord. Amen. First of all, you need to examine yourself whether you're being the faith or not. And then after that, how are you living your life for God? Amen. Today, when we was getting ready, I was listening to the preaching this morning, and I knew we were doing communion tonight, and communion usually is a very limited service, but I started thinking about this passage, and as I was getting ready, I'm like, man, I'm going to preach before communion. And what's going to happen is, after I get through preaching this small part, I'm going to open up the altar just for a moment where you can do business with God before we do business with God in communion. Amen? Because it's a place where you need to examine yourself. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 12. I hear pages turning, so I'll give you a second. I'll try not to get too excited, because I know it's communion service and I don't want to turn the table over. Y'all okay tonight? It's okay to laugh at church, even at communion service. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 12. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? God never asks a question that he doesn't know the answer to. God always asks questions to get you to answer it from your heart and from your mind. If you'll remember, one of the very first questions in the Bible is, Adam, where are you? God knew where Adam was. But did Adam know where he was? Sometimes God knows where you're at, but do you know? Where are you? I'm not where I used to be with you, God. I'm not where you used to have me, and I don't know where I was supposed to be. But look, Isaiah said, I'm asking you this question. Why do you come to the courts of God? Matter of fact, he asked him this question. Why are you trotting, golly, why are you walking over my courts? Why are you coming in here? Now listen, in this case, he was asking them, why are you coming in here knowing out there you're not living the way you should, and you're coming in here trying to manipulate me into blessing you even though you're not living the way you're supposed to be living? Can I tell you this? Before I got saved, I used to do that a lot. I'm serious. I used to try to manipulate God. Hey, God, if you don't let me reap the consequences of my sin, I'll pray more. Amen? God, if you don't let me reap the consequences of this sin, God, I'll go to church. Oh, God, if you let me get through this, I promise I'll be better. Now, I guess y'all ain't like me, but that's how I used to operate. And that sounds good when I say that. Before I got saved, that's how I'd operate. And after I got saved, I'd do the same thing sometimes. Did y'all hear that last part? I hope not. I've done it since I've been saved. Matter of fact, I've done it since I've been the pastor here. Woo! Oh God, you know, don't take into account the things that I've said, the attitudes that I've had, the things that I've done. God, I preached today, didn't I preach good? Golly. God, I read 3 chapters today. And God, I did this and I did that and I prayed. And remember, I went and done this visitation. How about that, God? God is not manipulated by what we do. He's not forced by what we do to bless us if we're living wicked and outside of His will. He asks weird questions. Why are you coming? Stay with me. Why are you reading? Why are you praying? Why are you coming to church? Why are you living better? Whew. Because listen, what He wants is, because I love you. Because you first loved me. Because I know how important you are in my life. God, I trust you. God, I want a relationship with you. God, you saved me from my sin. God, forgive me of my sin. Hey, this is my trespass. God, forgive me of that. And Lord, let me come into your courts with praise and worship that will honor you. Y'all don't believe me, but check this out. Watch. Look at verse 13. Oh my gosh, I can't even believe this is in here. Y'all believe that? Listen to 13. God, I don't even know how to read this. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of the assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity. Even the solemn feast or the solemn meeting, your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul, what? Hateth. They are trouble unto me. I am weary. Oh gosh. To bear them. Did you hear what he said? Who? God. Y'all don't like reading this. He just told them, every religious thing you do, every solemn feast, every ordinance, every Sabbath, every new moon, every feast. I mean, man, they would come and they would make a big to-do. Have you ever come to church and make a big to-do? But outside these walls, you're living like hell? And you come in here and make a big to-do. And God says, "You, I am so tired of that. That wearies me." I'd never read in the Bible where God gets tired. Or where God hated something. Where God hates. What does he hate? He hates, God, I hate even saying this. He hates hypocritical living. Not church hypocrites, hypocritical living. Living one way out there and trying to come in here and show out for God. Woo! He don't like it. Listen to this next part. It gets even worse. Amen? It does. It gets even worse. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. What? No, wait. Come in and get double antennas on God. Never mind. Y'all do. This is not a double antenna church, is it? We are one quarter church antenna, right? This is double antenna. This is your spiritual church. Amen? This is, all right, golly, tough crowd. And then you got, you know, hallelujah, right? Praise God. This is, God says, you know, if you come in the house of God and you're living one way out there and then you come in here and you raise your hands in praise, everybody might look at you and go, man, how spiritual they are. God says, I'm tired of that. No. Matter of fact, you don't say I'm tired of it. He says, never mind. Here's what Chris ain't away. Can you listen to me not? I'm not watching you. Hey, I like when my dad or my mom used to watch me when I was a kid, when I'd done something good. Not when I'd done something bad. When I'd done something good, I wanted them to watch. How many of you ever said that? Hey, Dad! Hey, Dad! Hey, Dad! Hey, Dad! Hey, Dad! Get that one a lot? And if Dad ain't there, hey, Mom! Hey, Mom! Hey, Mom! Hey, Mom! Hey, Mom! Watch, 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 watch. You're not watching. You're not watching. Right? We're children of God. We are children of God. And guess what? We come in the house of God, we do all our stuff, and we're like, hey, God, watch, watch, watch. God's like, look, stop cussing, stop drinking, stop lying, stop being a hypocrite, stop being mean-spirited, stop gossiping, stop telling fibs, don't stop telling tales. Don't, God, I'll ruin my altar call already. Listen, stop doing all these things. Listen, stop being angry, stop being sinful, stop being prideful. My God, stop being those things. Because listen, when you come in here, when you got double antennas going on, and you're praising and you're shouting and you're weeping, I am not even looking. Whew. And then we come, listen, I'm preaching, y'all. I'm just preaching about myself, apparently. But I come like this, and it says, and when you make great prayers, what this, when you make great promises, golly, how many times have I done that? God, listen. You ever made a great speech to God? You ever made a great speech to people you love? Herefore to therefore, never ever therefore, in the King James Version language, I will never do that therefore again, Lord. I'm sorry. I've made great swelling promises to God. And God said, listen, I know your heart. I hate to tell you this, but before you open your mouth, God knows your heart. So in your heart, if you're lying, your words are useless. God says, I'm not even listening to you. Man, I'm telling you right now, that hurts. That hurts. That hurts me a lot to know, wait a minute, God ain't watching me and God ain't listening to me until what? Until I get my heart right. Amen? Until I get my relationship. Can I break this down a little bit more? Can I break it down a little bit more? Somebody say, yeah, you can break. Okay, let's break it down just a little bit more. Wait a minute. Does that work in any other relationship either? Honey, I'm lying, cheating, stealing, and doing everything wrong. But honey, I love you. I'm coming home tonight. Hope you have a good meal. I can't wait till me and you get close and snuggle up and get to bed. Well, that's going to be great. Are you kidding me? You lied to me? You stole? You cheated? There's no way in the world things are going to be right in our relationship until you do some things to reconcile this. Hello? Amen? It don't work with any relationship you've ever had. Why in the world do you think it's going to be working with God that you can live way everything over here is against God and you come in here and God's like, I'm good with that. Because you checked the mark. Sometimes we think somewhere we think God has he's got a scorecard in heaven. Got to church? Didn't go to church. Prayed? Didn't pray. Read? Didn't read. No! It's either saved or unsaved, in right relationship or not in right relationship. That's it. If you're not in right relationship, everybody else can be for you, but God is not. Is that not scary? Does that scare anybody? I don't care if the whole church is for me. I don't care if the whole community's for me. If God's not for me, then I'm in trouble. Then you're in trouble. That's what he says in verse 16. He says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings. From before mine eyes, cease to do evil. I struggle with that tonight. When I looked at it, I'm like, well, some people are going to say, what's evil? God, if you don't know evil, you're not saved. You're not saved. If you don't know what evil is, then you're not saved. Because as soon as I got saved, I realized what was evil. Me and my actions. And you know what the Bible says to do? Stop doing it. Cease. Quit. Put a halt to it. Amen? Well, I can't. It's too hard. Stop. Call it. Say, look, I'm stopping that right now, right here. Amen? And you know, some of y'all are skeptical. You say, well, I can't hardly stop. Let me tell you how you can stop. Tell somebody else you're thinking about doing it and when you plan to do it. Never. Some of y'all need to write that down. It's pretty good. Some of y'all, if you have a stronghold in your life that's wearing you out and you don't know how to stop, tell everybody you're struggling with that and tell them every time you start to do it, call the person that holds you accountable. Call them and say, look, I'm thinking about doing it. Talk to God. Call them and say, I'm about to do this and here's the plan. You know what you'll do? That momentum stops. And after a while, you say, man, I don't even want to make that call no more. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good preaching, preacher. Especially on communion service night. It's good.
Verse 17. Learn to do well.
Wait a minute. Do you mean it's a process? I didn't have to learn how to do wicked.
It comes naturally.
Man, blonde-haired, blue-eyed little girls that are only 3 years old know how to do wicked stuff. I'm serious. They do. They can do what. I mean, you think, man, she's the cutest. She's the beautiful. Tell her not to do something. Walk away and come back. They're going to be doing it. Nobody has to teach you. But you have to learn how to do right. And guess what? If you're going to have to learn, you're going to have to practice. And practice and practice and practice. Sometimes you've got to just learn how to. Hey, you know what? You know how I've learned how to do better with my mouth? You ain't going to believe it. Somebody said, what? Shut up. Just shut up. You know how hard that is? Especially for somebody who makes a living talking. I'm serious, man. Somebody else say something and then that little thing just say. And you go, shut up. And man, the more you shut up, the wiser you look. I figured that out. A fool that doesn't say anything looks wise. Shh, never mind.
just good.
Learn to do will. Seek judgment.
That means seek out the judgments of God through the Word of God and through godly people and look and say, God, look at me. Look at my heart. Look at my actions. Look at me. God, I want to do it right. I'm seeking you to judge me. God, David said it a lot in the Psalms. God, look at my heart. Do a heart exam, God. Let me and you do a heart exam. Because I want to do that now instead of me standing before you and you doing it alone. This is my far favorite part.
Learn now to do well, seek judgment.
Listen, when you get your heart right and you learn to do well, and you got it, then God gives you some stuff that will keep you on the road. Amen? To doing well. You know what it is? Service. That's why some of y'all have a hard time living for God, because you make it all about you. It's not all about you. Cease to do evil. Seek to do right. Learn to do right. Guess what? Get some judgment and justice in your life. And then guess what? Check this out. Then you go to work helping other people. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Find people that are being oppressed by wickedness like you were. And start rescuing them. In the process of rescuing them, you will rescue yourself. I helped so-and-so, and I helped so-and-so, and I helped so-and-so, and I helped so-and-so, and I helped so-and-so. And guess what? Some of them didn't make it, some of them did, and I'm still helping so-and-so. But guess who's getting the most help? You. And guess who you're not thinking about all the time? You. Because guess who you're thinking about? God and them. God and them. Love God. Do stuff for them. That's simple. That's what we do. Love God. Do stuff for them. Amen? And at the end of your life, somebody might even stick your name on a highway or a billboard or something and say, that person loved people and was a good person. You never see a highway named after somebody who was always worried about themselves. It's always somebody who laid their life down for somebody else's life. Whew. I mean to preach this hard tonight. The only reason I came here to preach this tonight is one of my favorite verses is next. I never preached it in context, so I really never understood it in context. Amen? So after all this, God telling us what we need to do, listen to what He says. Come now. I feel the Holy Spirit. Hold on. Preach myself into the Holy Spirit. Hold on. Well, come now. After all this preaching, I just said all these verses. And what He says is, come now. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Because if you do, you'll go back. You'll go back. You got to come quickly. Look what God's calling. Listen, as soon as I read that, I knew God was saying right now, listen, come now. Listen, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. God said, hey, come on, man. Don't see this thing. This reason together is a legal term. The judge is saying to you, come to my court. I want to talk with you. I want to reason with you. Listen, God is the judge who doesn't want to commit you. He don't want to punish me. He don't want to give you the sentence. He's the only judge you'll ever meet that doesn't want to give you the sentence that you deserve. Matter of fact, He wants you to set you free. Amen? What He's showing you right now is how you can get washed and how you can get clean. He says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, your hands are full of blood. They shall be as white as snow. Listen, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He's saying, look, I don't care what you've done, and I don't care who you are. If you come now, the judge, my God, the judge is pardoning people now. He's pardoning you right now. He's making a way. Stop arguing with Him and wrestling with Him and tell Him your point of view. Come to the judge now. Come to God now and say, I'll take the pardon. I'll take the freedom. I'll take what Jesus did as a payment for my sins in full. Please forgive me of my sins and my trespasses. And if you're sitting here this evening and you're a believer in the child of God, you're a believer and you're a child of God, and you are out of the will of God, that means you're living like hell outside of here, and you come in here and you try to make God play the game. He don't want to play a game with you. He wants to use you. He wants to give you a life that's more abundant than any life you could ever imagine. The devil keeps promising you a better life, and he's a liar. This altar's open just for a few moments, because we're going to take communion. And I want to ask you, before we take that communion, if you've got any of that stuff going on in your heart and your life, this will be the time to get that out before we read these next scriptures. There's already somebody in the altar. The altar's open.